Couple items of business. This came from Patricia, WHIC listener, Rochester, New York. Dr. Ray, I came across a little poem I thought you would like. It seems to fit in with your new goal. It's by a fellow named David Budbill, and I found it in a book called Good Poems. Let me give you some backdrop to this. They have resurrected the Catholic Radio Renaissance competition. At the time it began, it was all male, because we weren't worried all that much about political correctness. Well, now it's the Radio Renaissance Person Award, and we're allowing some of the ladies in. But we have not done like the military has done. We have kept the standards the same. So therefore, part and parcel of the physical prowess competition is you have to be able to bench 300 pounds. Now, the only woman in the whole world that can bench 300 pounds is a woman who has had all kinds of chemicals put into her. You're not going to get a natural woman benching 300 pounds. So that'll pretty much eliminate all those until somebody takes us to court. There is a competition called the virtue competition. Well, that's where you have to pick a virtue and develop it and prove to the judges that you have developed this virtue. I personally have selected humility. That's the virtue that I want to expand upon. I want my humility to be so obvious that people comment on it immediately. It's just something that smacks them in the face. Now, this poem, I think, is something I may recite during the humility competition, because you do have to give evidence that you have achieved your virtue. And by the way, Catholic Radio Renaissance competition is something I won from 1998 to 2003. Here's the poem, a little free verse. I want to be famous so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I am stuck in this obscurity? Patricia from Rochester, thank you. I think that says it all. I really want to be very, 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 very well known so that people can say, man, is he humble for being so well known. But when you're like me right now and you're kind of obscure, then nobody notices your humility because they say you've got nothing to be humble about. One more time. I want to be famous so I can be humble about being famous. What good is my humility when I am stuck in this obscurity? Some of you stay-at-home moms who are wrestling with, and I get this from you moms all the time. I'm just a mom. I'm staying at home, and I'm wondering if what I'm doing is any good, especially because all three of my kids are driving me nuts. It's my calling, and I'm not very good at it. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You can have that poem up in your refrigerator. Now, let's go over to the Passing American Scene comment file. I was out to breakfast today with my mom and my sister and my youngest daughter and some friends. Friend asked, have you seen, Dan, what's the name of that? American Nanny, Super Nanny, what is that? That something nanny? I don't get it. Some British woman who goes into the home of American brats. Katie, you're in there. What's the name of that show? Super Nanny? Something like that? I said, no, I haven't. I haven't seen it, and I really don't have any intention of seeing it. But the gist of this is the gist of this show is this. Apparently, these kids are spoiled, obnoxious, demanding, unpleasant. And she comes in. I guess she's a Brit. I find this fascinating. They always use this stereotype of the Brits as this tough, no-nonsense, Mrs. Doubtfire kind of foreign influence. But the interesting thing about this is that if you know anything about Europe, they're a lot more liberal than we are. But anyway, well, I digress. Super Nanny comes in and basically straightens up these kids, or attempts to straighten up the parents. These parents who are just flailing about and raising spoiled little quasi-predators. Well, there's an interesting phenomenon about stuff like this. Many of you who wish to talk, you would like nothing more to talk about with your friends and your family than religion or morality or politics, even politics as it rubs against religion. But of course, you never talk politics and religion, which is one of the absolute most stupid things that people say. Because why wouldn't you talk religion? Why wouldn't you talk something of infinite value and repercussion? But no, we talk about super nanny. That's the stuff we spend our time talking about, which I find fascinating because any kind of in-depth discussion of super nanny is going to, I believe, ultimately lead to religion. Here comes old super nanny trying to straighten out these kids. On what basis? How does she decide that certain characteristics these children should have, like respect, conscientiousness, reliability? Where does she get this? Is this some kind of agreed-upon social construct that just is sort of a good thing to have because super nanny and her background in Europe says it's a good thing to have? So I think if you look at super nanny, you're going to ultimately come to the religious question. However, let me move to my main point. People think that those shows are good in the sense that they hold a mirror up to the American parent. You look at this, you see how obnoxious it looks, and then you say, oh my, isn't that ugly? Oh, I just better make sure that never happens with my children. And so Super Nanny does a great job because it vicariously teaches parents not to be like those parents and thus not to have children like those children. I disagree totally. Oh, it may do that for a very small percentage of people who are willing to look inward. But you know what a show like Super Nanny does? I call it the Springer effect. When somebody watches Jerry Springer and they see blatant, obvious, emotional turmoil, unraveling, social chaos. Oh, man, look at those people. Glad I'm not like that. Yow, do you believe people live that way? Ha! Those people sell their soul for a couple of minutes on TV. Super Nanny allows a high proportion of parents to look at these obnoxious children and say, wow, look how obnoxious those kids are. My kids aren't like that. It creates a false sense by comparing to the extreme. See, I like throw around flings like that because it's kind of like a journal article sounding. What I mean is this. When you look at how bad that is, it's easy to say, whoa, I'm pretty healthy compared to that, and therefore not to really look at ourselves. Indeed, we might not be as extreme in that as that. But are we parenting the way we wish to parent? I think a show like that takes the spotlight off of us. It truly does. I've seen it all the time. I see it. It's the human condition to compare yourself to the extreme when the extreme is bad. The person who says, okay, I give 1% to the church. All right, I'll admit that. But hey, there's a lot of people sitting in those pews that live in $750,000 houses. I'll bet proportionally I give more than they do. We compare to the extreme, and we compare to the extreme that is further negative than we are. We're not going to compare to the extreme the guy sitting there with six kids who gives 22% of his income. We're not going to compare to that. No, I'm looking at the guy in the million-dollar home that gives 0.5% of his income. That's who I'm going to compare to. Super Nanny does that. You look at those kids, and you say, oh, man, do you believe there's parents like that? Do you believe they let their kids be like that? Oh, man, are they weird. Yeah, the problem is, though, a high percentage of American parents really allow their children to be much more demanding and obnoxious and ungrateful and uncooperative and unpleasant than is good for anybody, the kids included. But watching Super Nanny allows us to compare ourselves and look pretty good. It's the Springer effect.